Ezekiel 47, verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse 1. If I could see those slides on the fallback screen, that would be good as well, so I can see what's happening. Ezekiel 47, verse 1. Has everyone got it in their Bibles? Old school church, I'm glad to see we've got lots of Bibles here. The first word of verse 1 of Ezekiel chapter 47, it says, afterward, everyone say afterward. It gives you a clue. You ought to read the chapters before if you want to know what we're reading after, all right? Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and that's the temple. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Ezekiel's having a vision here. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northwards. And in the vision, the Lord led Ezekiel about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there were waters running out on the right side. The waters that were running out was the river of healing, which you're going to find out. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. That's 533 meters for those of us in metric. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Everyone say the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000, another 533 meters. And he brought me through the waters. And they were waters to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000. He brought me through. The waters were to the loins, to the waist. Afterward, he measured 1,000 again. And it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, not waters to wade in anymore, but waters to what? Swim in. A river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, son of man, have you seen this? Can you see this, Ezekiel? Can you see it? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Everyone say the brink. Everyone say the bank of the river. The bank of the river. He brought me to the bank of the river. After seeing the waters flowing out of the temple, God in the vision brought Ezekiel to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were many trees on the one side and on the other. Trees everywhere. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, and they go down into the desert, and the water goes down into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it came to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, wherever the rivers shall come, wherever the water goes, it's going to bring life. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, not just life to the trees and those things, but there's going to be great multitude of fish because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live wherever the river goeth, or everything shall live whither the river cometh. Everywhere the river went, there was life. Everyone say life. And Psalm 119, verse 126, you might not have time to turn there, but it's going to be on the screen. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. And we live in a world that has made void the law of God. They don't care. They tramp it down. But let me tell you, it is time for God to work because they have made void thy law. What a powerful vision Ezekiel had, amen? I want to speak today, seeing revival from the riverbank. Seeing revival from the riverbank. Turn to your neighbor and say, seeing revival from the riverbank. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this vision that you gave Ezekiel. And Lord, we know that all these things are written as examples and encouragement for us. And so we look to you right now. Our ears are open. Our spiritual ears are open to hear what you're going to speak to us and the church today. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. Seeing revival from the riverbank, seeing revival from the riverbank. If you missed last weekend's messages, I encourage you, both the morning and the evening, two wonderful messages preached by Brother Kent and Brother Morton Jones. They were powerfully used of God. I encourage you to watch them. They're in our archives on Facebook and YouTube. You need to catch those. But on Tuesday morning, here in this church, a group of ladies have been meeting here for a long time as they gather for prayer, and they were here again on Tuesday. And straight after the prayer meeting, one of the sisters came and knocked on my door, and she said, "I believe I have a scripture from God that while I was watching the live stream on Sunday night, just at the conclusion of the service, God gave me a scripture, Pastor, and I want to share it with you." And here it is, Isaiah 43, verse 18. "Behold, I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth." Everyone say, "Spring forth." "Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And this sister was with Sister Sue Sarantos. I said, "Why don't you just step right in here? Just have a look at my screen. This is exactly the message I'm working on right away." That was confirmation. Praise God. And so today I want to lift your eyes. I want to lift your eyes to the harvest. I want you to be able to see the revival that God wants to bring to this city and to this region. I want you to get in the river of revival. I want you to allow God to use you to bring hope, to bring life to this country, to this city that has made void the law of God. Where there is a gospel, there is still hope. Where there is a church, there is still hope. Where the word of God is preached, there is still hope. Can I get an amen? And so I want you to see, just like Ezekiel saw, I want you to see the revival from the riverbank. You see, I like to spend some time in the bush. And one thing I know is that there's lots of life around the river. You can be walking through a farm and everything can be dry, but if you get down to the river, you'll begin to see some life. Especially snakes, I know, especially at this time of year, you got to be careful. The snakes will be sitting there, coiled up in the sun, right where the water is. In fact, I was with one of the brothers in church. We were walking through the bush recently, and we were walking through, and it was August time, and the sun was out. It was nice and warm. We came across a marshy, grassy place, and I said to him, I said, "Good place to see a snake." And sure enough, we walked about another 10 steps. There was a big red-bellied black snake sitting there. But not just that sort of life. You can find fish, you'll find ducks, you'll find goannas, you'll find birds nesting in the trees by the river, because there's always a lot of life around the river. And God gives Ezekiel this vision of the river flowing out of the temple and flowing onto the dry ground, flowing into the deserts. And wherever the river went, it brought life. And so rivers, the Bible is full of rivers. We read about the Jordan River. We read about the Euphrates River. We read about Jabbok. We read about Nile. Rivers have been central to human history. Why? Because we want to be around the river where the water is, because that's where we can live. And so no wonder God used a river in this vision that he gave Ezekiel. He used a river to communicate a great message for the people of God. But here in Ezekiel 47, the first word of Ezekiel 47 verse 1, can anyone remember what the first word was? Afterward. And so after this amazing vision, afterward, from it starts with afterward. So what happened before? You see, from Ezekiel 40 to 46 is where you'll see what happened before. God is giving Ezekiel a vision of what is the inside of the temple is going to look like. From 47 onwards, God gives a vision to Ezekiel of what's going to happen when what's on the inside gets outside. But from Ezekiel 40 to 46, God gives Ezekiel a vision of what it ought to look like on the inside of the temple. He gives him a vision of all the ins and outs of what it should be, the east gate, the south gate. There's going to be an inner court. There's going to be tables. He gives him all of these instructions about the offerings, about the chambers, about the porches, about the measurements. He tells him about the altar of wood and the doors and the windows and the north chambers, the other chambers, the laws. He tells him, Ezekiel, there's going to be laws in my temple. And he tells Ezekiel who's going to be in charge and the regulations of the priests and the responsibility for the princes. He tells them from Ezekiel 40 to 46 how to enter the temple, how to leave the temple. And then after all of that, everyone say afterward. After telling him what it ought to look like on the inside, after seeing the inside, God then takes Ezekiel to the door and he shows him the water flowing out from under the door. Ezekiel, I have shown you what's in here. Ezekiel, I have shown you. I've taken 6 chapters to show you what's inside the temple. But now, Ezekiel, I want to show you what can happen when what's in here gets out there. I want to show you, Ezekiel, what can happen when what's in here gets out there. And so then God begins to show Ezekiel not just the trickle of waters flowing out from underneath the door, but he begins to show Ezekiel a river that flows from the temple. It wasn't an immense river at the beginning. It was just a trickle. Everyone say a trickle. Just a trickle. It was just running out underneath the door. I want to tell you, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. You see, global revival, how did it start? With a small band of believers called disciples. Just a trickle. It started with a trickle. The whole church, in fact, the whole church met in one room, the upper room, 120 of them on the first day. It started with a trickle, but now we are seeing the gospel all over the world. Persecution couldn't stop it. Governments couldn't stop it. You see, the river that flows became stronger and wider from age to age. Now, a mighty river flooding the whole earth, blessing nations, blessing generations. And how did it start? It started with a trickle flowing out from underneath the door. And so I've come to remind the church today of our purpose. Yeah, we're going to get right what happens inside the temple, but it's not just about what happens in here. It's about where the river flows and what you do when you get out of here, full of the Holy Spirit, full of living water. When you go out to the world, when you run with the fire of the Holy Ghost, it's not just about what's in here. It's about what's out there. And if we can get what's in here to begin to flow out there, let me tell you, just like Ezekiel saw, there will be life everywhere the river runs, the river of healing. And so, yes, we're restructuring our services, yes, but it's not about what's in here. Yes, we have great worship and we have great music, we have great programs, we have great people, but it's not about just what happens in the walls of this church. It's about what happens out there. And today, my sole purpose, church, is to bring you to the riverbank, just like Ezekiel, to bring you to the riverbank and to lift up your eyes so that you can see that there is a river of God that wants to touch this world, that we can see a revival in our city. I want to take you to the riverbank so you can see the revival. We're in a city, we're in this city, we're in this region for a reason. And so Ezekiel not only saw the river, he was called to swim in it, yes. But now Ezekiel looked at all the places where the river flowed, and wherever it went, it brought healing, it brought restoration, it brought dead things to life, even the desert. And in the New Testament, Jesus spoke about a river. He spoke about rivers of living water that can flow inside of us. The infilling of the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is for every single one of us. If you need life, if you need to be revived, if you need to be restored, if you haven't found what you're looking for, I want to tell you that Jesus is still the answer. And when you are full of His Spirit, life will come to your soul. And so the waters flowed out from the temple from the north to the south, the east and the west. And everywhere the river went, it brought life. It brought restoration. It brought healing. It brought rivers of revival. Ezekiel, I want you to see now, after I've shown you what happens inside the temple, I want you to see what happens when what's in here can get out there. You see, I want to stop and just point this out to you, that church is not a place we come to, it's a place we go from. I'm going to explain that. Church is not a place we just come to, it's a place we go from. You go to a petrol station, okay, not just to go to a petrol station, it's about getting refueled so you can go somewhere else, correct? Anybody just love going to a petrol station? No, there's a purpose in going to a petrol station, and you need to go to the petrol station, but the reason you go there is so you can be refueled to go somewhere else. And that is the purpose of the church. This is not just the be-all and end-all. We come to church to be refilled, yes, sometimes inspired, yes, reminded, but refilled, refueled, restored, so that we can fulfill the Great Commission and go just like the river did out into our city, into our homes, into our workplaces, into our schools, into the marketplaces. Now, there's a bit of a tradition. If you've been in Canberra, you'll know there's a bit of a tradition that goes on in Braddon. There's Lonsdale Street in Braddon. If you go down there on a Friday night, you'll see all the young guys in town with their hotted up cars. Anyone know about, how many people knew that on Friday night that they get down in Braddon and drive their hotted up cars up and down the street? Not many people knew that. Now you can go there and you can see them, you know. They drive up and they sit by the car for a while, talk to their friends, get back in and drive up there. It's quite funny, actually, to watch young men showing off in their cars, you know. Windows down. Just to drive to the end of the street. Then they park at the service station. They pop the bonnet. All their mates come over and go, wow. Wow, look at that head gasket. Wow, you got turbo. Cool. Oh, a dipstick. That's a cool engine. But what's funny, then he'd be like, oh, you know, you see the engine, but you want to hear it? And he pops the bonnet and he gets in the car. Oh, wow, that's powerful. Look at the power. But you know what? That power is not serving any purpose except to make a noise and impress a few people. You know, sometimes Christians are like that. We come to church, we get full of the Holy Ghost, we sit there, pop the bonnet, rev our engine, show everyone how powerful we are. Everyone, wow, look at that. But you know what? Unless we actually get out on the highway and go somewhere, we're not fulfilling the purpose of God. Amen. We don't come to church just to rev our engines every Sunday and let people see what's under the bonnet. No, it's important about what's under the bonnet, but it's important where we go with the gospel, what we do with the power that God has given us. And so Ezekiel, I want you to see what's happening in here. Yes, but I want you to see what happens when what's in here gets out there. You see, the Dead Sea, everyone say the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is a unique body of water because why? It's the lowest point on earth. And why is it called the Dead Sea? Because everything runs into it and nothing runs out of it. And we become dead when things are just running into us, but we're not running out. Church can become dead when it becomes about what just happens here and not what happens out there. When it comes about what I can get on Sunday, but not what I can give from Monday through to Saturday. You see, we don't want the move of the Spirit just to stay here. We don't just want to come to church, rev our engines. We don't just want to keep the grace of God here where we're the only ones that know about it. The mercy of God. I want to tell you that there is a lost world out there. Jesus is coming back soon and there is an urgency. I'm preaching with urgency today, church. We got to get what we got in here. We got to get it out there because there is a lost and dying world and wherever the river flows, there will be life. And so the church is called to be a lighthouse in the dark. It's called to bring hope to a hurting and broken world. And I'm thankful, church, I'm so thankful that the river touched my family. I'm thankful that the river touched my family. You say, well, how did the river touch your family? Well, my grandfather was in a train one day in Melbourne. And in the trains in Melbourne at that time, what would happen is that people would come onto the train and they would preach to everyone while they were sitting there. Let's walk in. Can you imagine that happening on action buses today? Someone just gets in, opens up the Bible, and begins to preach. Why? You got a captive audience. They didn't have phones back then. They had newspapers, of course. They didn't all have their headphones on, but they'd get on there and preach. And this man came on, a Pentecostal preacher. My grandfather was sitting there. That's my dad's stepfather. But he was sitting there, and this man began to preach. Now my grandfather was a nominal Christian. He wasn't a Pentecostal, but the Pentecostal preacher stopped preaching. Then he walked up, and my grandfather used to read his Bible on the train. And he walked up to him just like Philip the evangelist did with the eunuch. He said, "What are you reading?" And he said, "Oh, I'm reading this and this and this." And then he did exactly what Paul did to the church at Ephesus. He said to my grandfather, in Acts 19, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" My grandfather said, "You know what? I never even heard of such a thing." And he told my grandfather, "You can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost just like they did in the book of Acts." My grandfather said, "Well, have you?" He said, "Yes, I have. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Let me tell you, I'm so glad that the river touched my family. I'm so glad that I stand here today, not because I found God, but the river found me. It found my family. And I stand here in the light and living for God, living in the blessings of God." Why? Living revived, brought to life, because the river touched my family. And there are other families out there that this river needs to touch. There are other people out there that need restoration and revival. Let the river touch the dead. Let the river touch the broken. Let the river touch the addict. Let the river touch the people that are depressed and anxious. Let the river flow. I want to tell you, church, I believe with all my heart that this river is going to flow places that we never thought. I believe it with my whole heart. We're already beginning to see it. Even during this time when we were locked down, the river flowing out of this church began to flow to places that we never thought. I want to tell you that God is going to bring the river to places that we even thought had no hope. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest preachers, I'd say the second greatest preacher to walk on the planet aside from Jesus Christ. He came to a place called Corinth. And Paul is doing the work of the Lord, and great opposition began to rise up against Paul. Right in the middle of doing a work from God, for God, right in the middle of that, there was a tremendous opposition from the Jews. In Acts chapter 18, verse 9 and 10. Acts chapter 18, verse 9 and 10. It's going to be on the screen there. "Then spake the Lord to Paul." This is right while Paul is trying to preach and do a work, and opposition is coming against him from every direction. "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, 'Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace.'" Don't shut up, Paul. Don't be quiet. Be bold. Don't be afraid. Keep speaking. "Why? For I am with thee." I want to tell you today, God is with us, church. God is with us. Don't be afraid. Speak. Don't hold your peace. Tell somebody. Find a hungry heart and tell them about Jesus. "Why? For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee." Why? Why should Paul keep speaking? "Because I have much people in this city." Paul, the job is not yet done. The river has not flowed everywhere it needs to flow. Paul, I am with you. No man is going to hurt you. I have much people in this city. And so my word for the church today, here and joining us online, be not afraid, but speak. Just like Paul, don't hold your peace. And you know what? Those words were enough for Paul to have a revival in that city. Those words were enough. And the same recipe for the church today is the same recipe for the church in the book of Acts. Don't be afraid. Don't keep your mouth closed. Speak. Why? Because I have many people in this city that God wants to speak to. I want to remind you the words of the song, "God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus," we sang about it, "enemies defeated. I will not keep my mouth closed. I will not be afraid of this world that has made void thy law. I am going to speak the word of God. I'm going to tell people my testimony, because it's not just about what happens in here. What happens in here has got to get out there." I want you to see the revival from the riverbank, just like Ezekiel today. And what a privilege it is, church. Everyone say a privilege. What a privilege it is to stand between the ascension of Jesus Christ and the rapture of the church. What a privilege it is to stand between the time when Jesus went up and when he's going to come back again. We stand here and we are called by the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Yes, he could have called Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but he called us into this hour and we must fulfill our responsibility. I ask you today, if not us, then who? And if not now, then when? I tell you, God wants to use us. The river has to flow out of this temple and into the world. I want you to see the revival from the riverbank. And so the man with the measuring reed, the measuring stick, he calls Ezekiel. He says, I want you to get in the flow. First of all, he's in up to the ankles. Everyone say ankles. With all the shark reportings we see now, and it's a good idea. Don't go too deep. But when it comes to God, we go as deep as we can. So he's in his ankles. And what do you do when you're in up to your ankles? You splash around. Everyone say splash around. Come further, Ezekiel. He goes into waters where it comes up to knee deep. And when you get up to your knees, you can feel the current moving, but you're still not moved. You can feel it moving, but you're still not moved. And he says, come a little bit further. And this time the waters was up to the loins, up to the waist, and still come a little bit further. And then he kept walking until he was swimming, until there were rivers to swim in. And when you begin to swim in those rivers and your feet are no longer planted on the earth, the river begins to take control. I want to tell you that there is a depth in God where he wants us to get into the waters to swim in, that he wants to take control, that not that we're just spirit-filled, but that we're led by the Spirit. And so this is normally what happens when people first come to God. They're getting up to their ankles and they're splashing around. But then we're not satisfied. We want to go further, up to the knees and up to the loins. And Ezekiel moved into ankle-deep water and all was okay. Then he moves into knee-deep water and it's a little bit more challenging than waist-deep, but then rivers to swim in. Ankles. Ankles can speak of our walk with God. We've got to get our walk with God right. Get your walk right. Get your direction right. Everyone say direction. I want to tell you how you can get in the river. You can get into the waters that swim in. But you can let God be in control of your life. Get your walk right first. The way is a way of holiness. Separation from the world. We are new creatures. We're repentance. Getting your walk right. Getting your direction right. Separation from the world. Yes, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Get your walk right. You see, many of us have chosen heaven over hell. That's true. We've chosen heaven over hell. But we haven't chosen heaven over earth. Some of us are clinging to the things on this earth a little bit too strong. We're holding on to it and we care about the things of this earth a little bit too much. You see, it's easy to make a decision between heaven and hell, but it's a little bit harder to make a decision between heaven and earth. Because we want to hold fast to what we've got here. I've come to encourage us, if we want to get in the flow of God, get your walk right first. Waters to the ankle. The Bible talks about knees continually, associating the knees with worship. To bow the knee, get your worship right. Worship is not just about lifting our hands and singing a song, but worship is about a lifestyle of worship. Have a lifestyle of worship, not just the words of a song that we sing, but our worship is a life that we live. It's about communion with God. In fact, worship comes from the words worth-ship. Worth-ship. Your worship is telling everybody what you put worth in. So get your walk with God right. Get your worship with God right. And loins, loins. Loins is a place where reproduction happens. Don't just get happy just having your walk right with God and having the lifestyle of worship. But we've got to understand that we've got to bring others to Jesus as well. That we can't just keep this to ourselves. We've got to bring others to Jesus. And then the fourth one is Ezekiel saw waters to swim in. That's where we just launch out and say, God, I relinquish control. I want to get into the rivers. I want to swim. I want to surf on your wave, God. You provide the waves. You provide the way. And I'll just get in the flow. Control by God. Everyone say control by God. You see, church, there are depths that we have not yet reached. And I know that I probably can't have much Bible to explain those four different things, but it just makes sense. You got to get your walk with God right. You got to get your worship with God right. You got to get your witness with God right. And then you can get into the wave of God, surrender to Him. And people say, well, why do we lift our hands in worship? Why do we lift our hands? Because the lifting of hands is the universal sign of surrender. We are surrendering to God. We're saying, God, I want you to take control. As I finish, Paul said these words. He said, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. Don't let it be said that we are a generation of people that know about God, but that we don't truly know Him. Paul said, that I may know Him. Moses even said it as well. He said, that I may know Him. Ezekiel, I want to take you to the riverbank so that you can see the revival. Everyone say the revival. And today, I know God's, we're going to get everything right in here, but it's not about just what happens in here. It's about what happens out there. And you're about to leave the refueling station now, and you're about to go into a lost and dying world, and you may be the only person that stands between your friend and the lake of fire. You have to not be afraid. You have to not hold your peace. You gotta tell people your testimony. Tell them of the hope that is in you. As I finish now, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says this. Acts 1, 8. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Come on, let's read it together. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both into Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Those words were not spoken to all of mankind. Those words were not spoken to a Christian organization. It wasn't spoken to Christians all around the world. Those words, when they were initially spoken, were spoken to a local church. A local church. You shall receive power. And then it says that the local church will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I want to tell you, all revival happens at a grassroots level. All revival happens where it starts in our heart first. Everyone say, my heart. You know, a lot of people praying for revival, but they yet haven't been revived themselves. You want to have revival, it starts with you. If we want to see revival in the city, it's going to start with us. It's going to start with our church, and it's going to flow out of here. It was spoken to a local church, but you shall receive power. Power for what? To sit here and rev our engines? No. Power to be witnesses to a local community, to Judea, to Samaria, to the whole world. Every great minister that has ever preached this gospel started somewhere in a local church. Every great evangelist started somewhere in a local church. And so I've come today to stir you with a vision for our city, to stir you with a vision for our region. I've taken you to the riverbank, and I pray that you can see that when the river gets out of here, it can bring life to a dying world. Ezekiel is brought back to the brink so he can see that the river of life, the river of healing that flows from God is a reviving and a restoring river. And wherever the river flows, it brings life. Maybe you need that today. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you can say, Pastor, before it gets out of here, let it get to me first. And I want to tell you, God wants to move in this place this morning. He wants to revive our hearts. He wants to set us on fire again. He wants to restore. Some of us need to have our first love restored.
To get back to that place where we were once with God. When we were first saved, we just wanted to be in His presence all the time, but we've allowed our first love to drift. So I ask you, what is your next step? Are you in up to your ankles? Well, come on, come just a little bit further. Come on, let's have a lifestyle of worship. Come on, let's get into the waters to swim in. Let's all stand in this place right now. It's time for Thee, O Lord, to work, for they have made void Thy law. It is time for God to work. I want to read now a prophecy that was given to our church in 2012. In 2012, our church looked vastly different than it looks now. This prophecy was given by a young man who just happens, at that time, he wasn't even a minister. But now he's a missionary in Latvia with his family. He read this scripture, now it shall come to pass, Isaiah 2 verse 2. And I'm reading it because it's been transcribed. It's just part of the prophecy. Brother Daniel McLeod. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. These are his words, his exact words. Isaiah was not speaking of a physical height. He was saying, in the last days, that I will elevate the people of God and the house of the Lord Jesus to a place where it is seen of all and has influence over all. And when I exalt them to that place of influence, all nations shall flow into it. Our church has since become the most multicultural church in our city. We're seeing it, what's happening here. But he went further. And you hear me. He said this. And you hear me because this is the fixed star of the city of Canberra. This church, he said, is the fixed star. He will touch people of all cultures and all nations. We didn't know exactly what that was going to look like back then. But he will touch all cultures and all nations. And what is going to happen is that they are going to come into this church and they are going to hear the faith once delivered. And they are going to be born of the common salvation. Then they are going to turn and return to all these nations that they have originally come from. All the nations are going to come into the Lord's house, into the church in the last days. He was prophesying of that river. And yes, some of us are here for a purpose, but God's going to, when we get back home to wherever the home is, God wants to use us because the river has to get outside of here and it's got to flow into all the world. You're going to back to your communities, back to your families, back to your schools. This is a fixed star. The word of God will be preached in its entirety in this place. This is a fixed star and God wants us to see the revival that He can bring through us. Yes. Started with a trickle, but a mighty river. And I pray, maybe right now you can feel the trickle of God's presence in your heart. I want to tell you, just let it continue to trickle because it's going to end up being a mighty river. And if you would just surrender to God and say, God, not my will, but thine be done. God, I want you to use me. I want to plunge out into the rivers to swim in. I want you to use me, God. I want what's in my heart to get out to a lost and dying world. I want to take what I feel in this house to the world that I live in. Lord Jesus, we thank you right now. Thank you for your presence that's in this house. Lord God, if you can use anything, you can use me. If you can use Paul, who had such a bad past, God, we got bad past too, but you can use us. I know that. So God, Lord, I pray that, Lord, that we will have a vision of what you want to do through our lives and through this church. Lord, that you would use us not just to reach this city, but to reach the world. And Lord, that every ear under the sound of my voice, as this prophetic word has gone forth, that we have read the vision of Ezekiel. Lord, help us to get a burden for a lost and dying world. But let it begin with us right now. Let it begin with us. Church, I want to call you. It's time to go into a deeper place with God. Come on, let's just worship Him right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Oh, come on, cry out to God right now. Hallelujah, we surrender to the move of your Spirit right now, Jesus. Help us to see the revival that you want to bring through us. Move in our hearts. Oh God, let it start with me. Let it start with me. Come on, lift your voice right now, church. Come on, let's get the same vision. Oh God, hallelujah. I want you to see the revival from the riverbank right now.